appreciate the opportunity to be able to speak tonight and be able to help pastor out in this way. Let me encourage you. It's too close. Seems like I'm yelling. Let me encourage us as a church to pray for our pastoral staff and to do what we can to be a help to them. They have a heavy load that they carry. And probably if a lot of us knew the load that they carry, we'd be surprised. We oftentimes see our pastoral staff and we see them on Sundays and we see them on Wednesdays, and maybe we don't really take into account the whole, rest of the week, all the things that they do, or the phone calls that they get, at different hours of the night or different times of the day when it's maybe not as convenient for them as they would like, and yet but they still serve. I remember when I first got saved, the pastor that was very instrumental in my early days of spiritual growth, I remember I would go to his office, and sometimes I would just pop in unannounced. And I would come, and sometimes I would come, and I would have a notepad with questions on it. And his name was Pastor Showers. And I remember in particular one time I came, and he didn't use a computer. To this day, he still doesn't use a computer. He'll still type. And I came to his office, and he was sitting at his typewriter, and here I was. I popped in. I had my list of questions. And I remember he backed away from his typewriter, and we sat down in two chairs in his office, and I don't know, I could have been there hour and a half, 2 hours, I don't know. But he patiently just listened to me and went through all my questions. And now I've looked back on that and thought, oh my goodness, how much time I took from that man, and who knows if it was a Wednesday or whatever, and he's working on a message. So, but pray for our pastoral staff, and pray for the burden that they do carry. If you have your Bibles tonight, let's go ahead and open up to the book of 1 Corinthians. The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Again, a familiar passage that we have many times looked at before in regards to the Lord's table. I want to go through, I want to read through the context, the entire context of this passage that where Paul deals with the Lord's table here. If you know about the book of 1 Corinthians, as you study the book, Paul is dealing with this church that he had that had questions for him, and there were a series of letters that were sent back and forth between the Apostle Paul and this church. And one of the things that this church had, they had some questions, just like I had questions for my pastor when I was first saved. And they said, "Well, what about this?" And "What about this?" And as you work your way through 1 Corinthians, if you do your study going through chapter by chapter, you see Paul just move from one issue to another, one question to another, looking to answer questions. And as he gets down to chapter 11, and then starting in verse 17, there is an issue that needs to be dealt with regarding the Lord's table. And so this begins here in verse 17 of chapter 11. It says, "Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse." And what a hard thing for a church to hear, that when you guys come together, you're not helping one another, you're not helping you better one another up, you're actually tearing one another down, you're actually worse off for having met. And then he says in verse 18, "For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you," or schisms, fractures among you, "that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper." And what he's saying is, when you guys came and you've come at the appointed time to have the Lord's Supper, you're really not observing it. He says, "For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunken. What, have ye not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not." He says that a second time. He says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show, that's a key word we'll look at tonight, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, that's the second word we'll look at, shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself. It's the third word we're going to look at tonight. Examine himself. And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation or judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation or judgment. And the rest will I set in order when I come. Let's open with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful again for our time to gather together tonight as your people here in your house on this day, Lord, that you have appointed for us. And Lord, again, this high point of our week and high point that should be a culmination of a whole week of worship that, Lord, we have had with you personally. Lord, we thank you that we can come before your word tonight, and we thank you that we have the privilege and the opportunity to celebrate our Lord's table. And Lord, that we can see by his instruction, by this example that he's given to us, Lord, how we should celebrate this table. And Lord, we thank you that you have told us, as we see here in your word, that Lord, we cannot just come any old way that we want to, but Lord, there are certain attitudes, Lord, that we should have as we come, Lord, to this sacred place. And I pray that tonight, that as we look at your word and then we celebrate your table, that, Lord, you would be pleased by it, and the gospel would be proclaimed by our very partaking of the bread and the cup. So these things we ask now, in Jesus' name, amen. Several years ago, I was asked to be in a wedding of a family member. And so this is before Teresa and I had any kids, so we made this trip from we were in South Carolina at the time, and we made this trip, to this wedding. And this wedding was at a house. It wasn't at a church. And but I was asked to be in the wedding, so I was in a tux, and other people were in tuxes. People were dressed up and things like that. But then once the ceremony had finished, then the wedding meal was actually inside the house. And Teresa and I, we don't know. We know some family members that are there, but we don't know a lot of the people that are there. So we're just kind of standing off to the side. And at the time that the meal was supposed to be, I guess you could say, quote unquote, served, a lot of the people that were there just kind of rushed to the table and just started taking all the food. And so as we're standing there, I don't think Teresa and I looked at each other, but I can imagine what was going through our minds, because here are all these people, nobody really said, let's have the bride and the groom go and partake of the food first. Let's pray. No, it was just this mad rush to the table. And all of a sudden, people were all around the table to start grabbing food. And so the groom, as he was there and he's watching us, and I can see his face, and he is just embarrassed. And I can't remember if these were the exact words that came out of his mouth, but it was something to this effect. He was kind of motioning to other people, and this is what he said out loud. He said, go ahead, going up to the hog trough. Okay. This is the kind of situation that Paul was dealing with at the Church of Corinth. In the early New Testament church, what often happened with the celebration of the Lord's table, there was often a meal that preceded the Lord's table that was like, kind of like what you call a love feast. And the idea was this was not, this was not just any other kind of dinner. This is a time for the church to gather, to partake of a meal together. And through that meal, they are showing love and appreciation and Christian fellowship one with another. And then on the heels of that meal, then there was the celebration of the Lord's table. What you find here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul says that he says to the Corinthians, when you folks are coming and you're coming to celebrate the Lord's table, he says, you're not celebrating the Lord's table. That's where he says here in chapter 11, we read it just a little bit ago. He says in verse 20, when ye come together therefore into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. He said, this is not what you're doing. And he says a little further, he says instead of you being better off for having done this, he said, you're actually worse. And so what was happening was, just like really in probably any church, you had people of different socioeconomic backgrounds. You had some people who were well off and who were affluent and who had plenty and who could bring plenty to the feast. And then you had other people who maybe were of the working class, who were of slaves, and maybe they couldn't get there in as timely as a fashion as maybe as the people who were better off could. And maybe they couldn't quite bring as much. And so the people who were more wealthy, the people who could bring more, as soon as they got there, they just started eating away. And then right on the heels of that, instead of observing the Lord's table and observing this love feast in a careful, in a gracious, in a loving manner, it just went right straight from the love feast, right into the Lord's table, bam, slam, bam, and we're done. And Paul said, this is not how the Lord wants you to observe His table. He said there are certain attitudes that you should have as you come to celebrate this as a church. And so as we come, and we do this on a monthly basis, some churches do it on a quarterly basis, some maybe churches do it on a different kind of schedule. God tells us here in His Word, there are certain attitudes that we need to have as we come to celebrate His table. The first thing that I want us to see tonight is in verse 26. Verse 26, he says here, for as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till He come. The key word that you really want to look at in that verse tonight is that word show. The word show in this verse, it comes from the Greek word kata angelo. In the KJV, that probably most of you have, it's translated in different places as declare or preach. Or like here, to show, or to speak of, or to teach. In some other translations, it's also translated as the word proclaim. Kata angelo actually has as its root the Greek word angelos. This is the word that we find in Revelation in chapters 2 and chapter 3, where Jesus, as he's giving these letters, says, now I have a message for the angel of the church of Thyatira and for the angel of the church of Ephesus. That idea of the word angel there, that's the word messenger, or as we would think, the word pastor. Christ had a message for the pastor, for the leader, the spiritual leader of that church. Now, again, why is that significant? Kata angelo is also found in the New Testament in different passages in the context of preaching the gospel. Turn, if you will, over to the book of Acts. I want to look at just a few passages here where you find this word kata angelo and how it's translated in different ways. First of all, go over to the book of Acts and let's look at chapter 4, verse 2. Chapter 4, verse 2. What you find earlier in chapter 3, here Peter is preaching and he ends up preaching the gospel. And in chapter 4, verse 1, it says, and as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught, there's your word, kata angelo, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. turn over, if you will, go over to the book of Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. We'll look at two verses here. Acts chapter 13. You begin here at verse 4, and it says, "So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached," there's your word, katangelo, "they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they also had John to their minister." Here's Paul and Barnabas preaching the gospel. Look down, if you will, at also at verse 38. It says, "Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins." Again, the preaching of the gospel. Now, there are other verses that we could look at. But again, the idea here is this word kataangelo that we find here in 1 Corinthians, where it says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show." You are proclaiming. You are teaching. You are proclaiming in a public way the Lord's death until He come. Just in the same way that Paul went out and preached the gospel, publicly proclaimed the gospel, the same way that Peter did that, the same way that others do that, when we meet here for the Lord's table, the first attitude that we need to have is that we are literally preaching a message when we observe the Lord's table. When we take of that bread and we drink of that cup, we are showing the Lord's death till He come. I don't know how many of you had this experience. Maybe some of you had if you've gone to Bible college or Bible university. Maybe you had the opportunity to take a Bible doctrines class. And maybe you've had, maybe you have this on your shelf at home. Maybe you have, Charles Ryrie's Basic Theology. Or maybe you have some sort of big book of systematic theology. And maybe as you remember doing that, you read through and you read about all these doctrines. You read about the doctrine of Christ and the doctrine of the Bible and the doctrine of God and the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, and the doctrine of salvation, the doctrine of things to come, the doctrine of last things. But do you know that when we come and when we partake of the Lord's table, we are doing that very same thing. We are proclaiming the doctrine of the Bible, bibliology, the doctrine of theology. I do this because this is what God has shown to me in His Word. I partake of these elements. I partake of the bread and I partake of the cup because this is what God has told me that I should do to remember His Son and what He has done for me. We proclaim the doctrine of Christology. It says there, we show the Lord's death. That He who was the perfect Son of God came and died on a cross for us and died a perfect death as a sinless substitute for us. So that why? So that we could have salvation. And then as has been said here before, we don't preach a Christ that's still on the cross. We preach a Christ who is dead, who is buried, who is rose again. And it says that we don't do it always, but until He come. And Pastor always points that out when we have the Lord's table. We're not doing this forever, but until He come. We say, we are doing this also to remember not only what Christ has done for us in the past, but what we are looking ahead to in the future. So as we partake of the Lord's table, that first attitude that we need to have is that we are literally proclaiming a message, preaching a message to ourselves and to others around us of what Christ is, what He means to us, what He's done for us, and what He's going to do for us one day. So the first attitude that we need to have, the first right attitude we need to have at this table, is that we are preaching a sermon, we are preaching a message, proclaiming a message when we participate at the Lord's table. The second thing I want us to look at here is in verse 27. Verse 26 says, "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show, we proclaim the Lord's death till He come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat of this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord." The word that we find here in verse 27, translated unworthily, it's a word which finds its root in the Greek word axios, which means to have weight or to be befitting, deserving, or suitable. Other translations that we can find translate this again as unworthy or in an irreverent manner. However, what was it exactly that we find that the Corinthians were doing that was unworthy? We look here again at, earlier in the context, it says, in verses 20 to 22, it says, "When ye come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper. And one is hungry, and another is drunken. What, have ye not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not." So again, going back to that earlier illustration, here people were coming, and they were coming to this love feast that was supposed to be, again, a celebration, again, of the love that believers have with one another, the fellowship that we have with one another, and then right on to follow on that was to be the Lord's table. He said people were coming, and this was just, it was kind of like a church potluck. Okay, we know that when we come here for the Lord's table, it's different than when we have a church potluck. People were coming and they were eating and they were feasting and people were getting full, and it even says to a certain point, people were getting drunken. And Paul says, you folks are just going through this just like it's some sort of regular meal, and you're blazing through all this. And you follow on that, and you come into the Lord's table and you just partake of the Lord's table. Everything's in a hurry, everything's in a rush, and there's no meaning, there's no substance to it at all. Paul says, this is not the way we are to celebrate the Lord's table. We said that the first attitude that we need to have when we come to the Lord's table is that we are preaching a message when we celebrate His table. The second attitude that we need to have is, don't hurry through your message at the Lord's table. Don't hurry through this time that you have with the Lord's table. For many of us, maybe it's the fact that we come and maybe we forget, and we come and we sit down at church and then we realize, oh, it's the Lord's table tonight. Maybe sometimes is that our attitude? And we have the time of the service all ticked down. All right, we come, service starts at 6. Usually the song service is done by 6:20, 6:25. Pastor gets to the pulpit about 6:25, 6:30. He preaches to about 7, 7:15, something like that. And then we realize, oh, we have the Lord's table tonight. Oh, how long is that going to be? What? 7:15, 7:30, 7:45. What time am I going to get home? What time is the game finished? And for us, it's just hurry, 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 hurry. Work our way through it. Get it done, get it done, get it done, get it done. Paul says that for the Corinthians, again, their attitude toward the love feast and toward the Lord's table, feed your face, get it through, get it done, get moving, keep going. Paul says, this is not the attitude we are to have when we have the Lord's table. Now, maybe for you, again, maybe it's, maybe we never see it on our faces. We come, everything's cool, everything's fine. But in our hearts, our minds are racing. Our heart is racing. We come at the time when we are to pray and we're to think about our relationship with the Lord. We're to think about what Christ has done for us. The piano and the organ are playing. It's a time of quiet, reflection in our own hearts. And yet in our minds, we're thinking of all the things we've got to do when we get home. We're thinking of all the things that we've got to do, at work tomorrow. We're thinking of all the things that we've got to do, later on this week. I remember when we first came to Chicago, since 2013, 12 years ago. My wife and I we grew up in small town Indiana, and my hometown was like 4,000 people. That included people in the town, people out in the outskirts, in what we called the country. And for us, it wasn't uncommon, to see an Amish buggy go by on the road. If you go to where we're from today, you can go to Walmart and you can find hitching posts for the Amish buggies. covered hitching posts. How about that? Okay. And so you get here to Chicago, and maybe, and some of you grew up with this, and maybe it doesn't affect you, but you get here to Chicago, and things zip, 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 yeah. You know, you drive to the airport, you know, people in and out, moving all around, everything like that. Everything, hurry, 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 go, 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 go. It's a different kind of life. But the Lord says, when you come and you partake of the Lord's table, remember, you're proclaiming a message to yourself and to others. Don't hurry through that message. Don't allow your thoughts to push you through that message and push you along. Don't hurry through it. So God wants us to have certain attitudes as we come to His table. An attitude that it's a sermon, it's a message that we're proclaiming. And an attitude of don't hurry through that message as you're at the Lord's table. The last one we find here is in verse 28. He says, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." The word that we find translated examine in this verse is the word dokimazo, which means to approve or to test. Leon Morris, in his commentary, said that this word is commonly used for the testing of metals. And, you know, and we think about it, you know, companies will often test their products before they put them in our hands. I've heard it said before, you know, you think about, you know, this product has been tested, you know, 800 times before it ever reaches you. You know, I think I've heard, I think it's Fram oil filters. And it says, we put them through a battery of tests, you know, and we blow them up to so many 100 pounds of PSI. And this is all before it ever reaches you. My thought is, so if they've tested it to its fullest extreme, and then they're sending it to me, how much life do I have in that product? You know. But companies will often test things to make sure that they're fit, to make sure that they're fitting, that they're worthy, that they're up to snuff. Athletes will often test themselves in practice over and over and over again for the time, you know, when the athletic competition comes, they're ready. Students will be tested with, you know, in a sense, with quizzes and homework. So that when the actual time of the test comes or the final exam comes, we see what have they learned. Are they ready? Are they worthy? Are they fitting? Maybe for a lot of us, perhaps we need to practice ourselves that before we come to church on a Sunday, before we come to the Lord's table, once a month or once a quarter, whenever it is, before we put ourselves to the test of being calm, being still, being ready in our heart, in our mind, to participate in the Lord's table in a manner that God's pleased with, then maybe we need to be practicing in our own homes, in our own daily worship, practicing on a daily basis, being still before the Lord, dwelling on the Lord, praying before the Lord, so that when the time comes and we come to this high point of worship in our week, it's simply the culmination of a whole week of practiced worship. So that in our own homes, in our own prayer closets, in our wherever that is for you, and in your basement, in your lazy boy, at your desk, wherever it is, you have practiced that time of being still and calm and quiet before the Lord, of being still and knowing that I am God. So that when you come on a Sunday, you're ready. And you're ready for that high point of worship. I've been to Africa twice on two mission trips. One of the things I noticed when I was in Africa is the stillness, or when that stillness, the slowness with which the pace is in Ghana. If you want to see a person walking in Ghana, where I've been, they literally will walk at about this speed on the side of the road. And you see it all the time. They walk at about this speed. For some of you, this would drive you out of your mind. Because if you were to come behind that person, we know what it would be like, right? And you know what? Also, when I was in Africa, this really happened one time. Our mission team was waiting. We were waiting for the national preacher to come pick us up for the service. And he was late. I mean, he was really late. We were all ready. We were all waiting. We had our shirts and ties on, coats on, ready to go. And he was really late. So we got to the service. This was on a Sunday morning. We got to the service an hour and a half late. And do you know what happened? The people just waited. They didn't leave. They just waited. When we got there, advocating procrastination and things like that, or being tardy or whatever. But the people just waited. We got there. We arrived. We had a full church service. We went home. But again, there was no rushing, there was no stress, there was no everybody tied up, there was a calmness, there was a stillness to them. And I thought back on that often. I thought back on that walk often, as I've lived here, and of the busyness that we go through on a daily basis. And Paul said, when you come and you participate in the Lord's table, don't come just looking to blaze through it and blah, 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 you're blazing right through it. Let's put it in, let's get it down, and we're done. Paul says, come with this attitude in your mind. You are a preacher. When we partake of the Lord's table tonight and we partake of these elements, you are proclaiming a message to yourself. Just like Peter did, just like Paul did, you are proclaiming the gospel by the very taking of the elements of the Lord's table. As he says, for when you eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. He says, don't hurry through this. Don't go through this unworthily. Don't go through this like the Corinthians did. It was just wham, 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 and we're done, we're out. Don't rush through this. And then he says, test yourselves. Examine yourselves. I encourage us tonight. We're gonna close, and we're going to have the organ and the piano player play number 57, Search Me. So we'll look to close here in just a minute. I'm going to ask if they play through that four times. I made me think, oh my word, it sounds like a lot. But what I want you to do tonight, if you haven't done it already, and Pastor has told us this and he's encouraged us to do this, that on a Sunday afternoon, and again, to my, I'll be the first to admit I haven't done it. Go home this afternoon. Read through some passages of Scripture. Read through a crucifixion passage. Prepare yourself for the Lord's table. I want us to do that tonight, so that when it comes time to proclaim that message to yourself and to others, you're ready. You're ready. And you're still before God, so that you can know Him in an even better way. Let's close in a word of prayer.